BYUSN, another top 10 ranked team, enters the Marriott Center tomorrow. Would a win over Iowa State save the season for BYU men's basketball? And why will tomorrow be the first time in more than a year that BYU gets that ranked win at home? Is there hope? We'll discuss.
How does the sixth seed in a possible second-round matchup with Gonzaga sound to you right now for the Cougars in March Madness? Who's projecting that? Why it could actually happen? Plus, it's a rivalry game tomorrow for Lee Kmart and the women's basketball team. Coach joins us in studio to talk about trying to take down the Utes.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, a feel-good Friday on February 20th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who just might be afraid to shake Boban's hand, Jerem Jordan. 2 days in a row, we're talking Boban.
Yeah, I know, Boban. So we got more pictures. Look how big his hands are. After the BYU-Arizona game, Kevin Young, who coached Boban, interacted with him. He's a massive dude. He's Goliath.
It's an engulfing hug.
And then fellow Serbian, Mihajlo Boskovic. That's cool. They're hanging out. Mihajlo's not small.
He's 6'10".
Yeah. So high five means something different, right, with Boban. He's a big dude. He's a fun personality.
If they were casting for the Princess Bride in 2026, he'd be
Andre the Giant. Yeah, yeah.
He would have to be, right?
I love it.
Fezzik, I think, is his name, right? Yeah. Like, come on! Like, I don't want to remake the movie. I'm not saying that. But well, if they were casting, he would be the perfect candidate.
Yeah, don't say that to our programming team here at BYU TV. I believe we show The Princess Bride on the reg on this here channel, so let's go.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You kill my cougars. Prepare to die.
No more rhyming, I mean it.
All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Next up for BYU, it's a second consecutive top 10 opponent in Iowa State.
Shoots a three and knocks it down. AJ DiBonsa.
Everything is still there for BYU.
BYU has star power, baby.
We're hungry for a big win, and I know Cougar Nation will be out in full force.
Anybody want a peanut? Number 23, BYU. Trying to hang on to that national ranking as they host number 6, Iowa State.
If BYU lose tomorrow, it's gone.
That's definitely on the line.
If they win, they'll keep it for sure.
Jerem, this sounds very dramatic to ask this question.
It's a sports talk show. Go ahead.
But it is late in the regular season, and BYU has gone begging in their Quad 1A opportunities to date. So would a win over Iowa State, and finally, that Quad 1A win, save the season for BYU men's basketball?
I don't know that it saves the season. I think this team will be defined by whether they win a second-round game in the NCAA tournament. Because I think they'll win the first round. Will they win a second-round game? If they do and they go to the Sweet 16, okay then. They're one of the top five teams in BYU history. They're only the fourth, you know, to ever get to the Sweet 16.
Things have been salvaged.
Yeah, yeah. Did we want more with this group? Like TBD after said, hopeful Sweet 16. Do they save the regular season with the win? Perhaps. Because what is BYU's sort of aim and mission realistically right now? To me, it's to be a top 6 seed. More on that in a moment. It would be the best win of the year. Quad 1A, the first. A top 10 win by ranking and net. Clones are 6th in both today. It'd show they can win a big game and without Richie Saunders. So,
yes.
Marriott Center magic. Let's go. Iowa State's awesome. BYU has to show it cannot just hang, but needs that signature win. I do believe BYU will beat Texas Tech without JT Toppin on March 7th. That'd be Quad 1B, probably at that time. But we'll see what Texas Tech is in that moment. But this is a massive moment. We'll talk more about how BYU beats Iowa State in a moment. But yes, I think it would save the regular season, but not this. This team will be defined by how they do in the tourney.
Hear me out. Because I think there's a domino effect in play that affects BYU in the NCAA tournament based on what could potentially happen tomorrow night against Iowa State. If BYU beats Iowa State, what have they done? They have finally gotten the proverbial monkey off of the back. They know that they can beat an elite top 6 team, and now there is belief. And there's belief that they can do it without Richie Saunders. If BYU beats Iowa State, now they have every reason to feel strong and confident about, doesn't matter who we're playing, we can beat any team in the country.
We can beat the best teams in the best conference, and we can do it without Richie Saunders. They need to get over that hump, mentally speaking, and get that belief that they can do it. So
you don't believe they can do it? I just think they haven't done it. I think they believe they can do it. Just think they haven't done it. Because they've done toe-to-toe with so many good...
There is power in actually doing it, though.
Yeah, I agree. But, like,
pounding the rock, it breaks open.
I believe they believe. Like, they're like, why wouldn't we? We've gone toe-to-toe with XYZ teams.
Don't you want to know, though? Don't you want to know? Now you know.
Yeah, for sure. But I do believe they believe. They just got to do it. And guess what?
Call it what you will then. There is great power in knowing that you can do it.
And sometimes belief is good enough. And then the trial of your faith occurs, which BYU has had.
I think the trial of faith has happened, Jerem.
I know. Now they need to actually know. Sometimes you got to see with your eyes, right? Yeah, for sure. I don't think BYU is going to play a team as good as Iowa State until a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight.
Exactly.
Like, unless you're a 7, then you're playing a 2 in the second round. Hopefully BYU doesn't slide to that. Hopefully they stay at a 6. I don't feel like BYU is going to get higher than 6. I really don't. We'll talk about that more in a second. I keep teasing it, but... This is a massive game.
You follow what I'm saying, though.
And it's like, at home.
The mental impact, the domino effect, knowing that you can, not just believing, but like, hey, we can and we did beat that team without Richie Saunders. So who cares who we play the remainder of the season in the Big 12 tournament, in the NCAA tournament?
Yes, riddle me this then.
We can beat them.
If they don't win tomorrow, then is it going to be really hard to sort of win that second round game? When you're playing a team that isn't Iowa State, but it kind of is in the neighborhood.
I think it will be more difficult.
I just think the Big 12 is so good that I'm excited about BYU to play a team from a different league in the second round where it's like, we have been battle-tested and weathered in the best top-end league in America. It's not going to be the league with the most bids.
They got to learn how to close the deal, though.
Basketball league of like 6 teams in the top 25 right now and like 5 in the top 15.
Yeah.
Is the Big 12.
That matters. That matters.
I think BYU is going to be, yes, BYU is going to be in the second round and go, reference points, all these tough games we played, Arizona, Houston, Iowa State.
But have they closed the deal in any of those? I think there's great power in that.
If they do it in the second round, win or with or without a win tomorrow, awesome. This team all of a sudden launches into one of the top 4 or 5 teams in BYU history. But it would help for sure.
Create some confidence tomorrow.
It would be nice.
Question of the day, would a BYU win tomorrow over 6th-ranked Iowa State save the season?
I know it's dramatic. Regular season.
I know it's dramatic, but we're kind of there, okay? At H. Surin says, the season makes or breaks in the tournament.
Yeah.
If this team makes it past the first weekend, it doesn't matter what happens between now and the end of the season.
Agreed. There is value
but
in sort of building.
But will BYU's matchup be way better in the tournament and a chance to get to the Sweet 16 if they win this game tomorrow?
It's the difference between maybe a 6 and a 7.
Yes.
It kind of, and I'm not going there. It is important. You probably ensure, barring a disaster, that you get at least a 6.
Another reason to save the season. You win that game, you probably ensure the 6 seed. I will take a 6 seed 100 times out of 100. Over a 7-10 game feels very different than a 6-11 game.
Oh, not the 7-10 to me. It's
and then the
7-2.
Yes.
That I'm thinking about.
A 6-3. Yeah. BYU literally did it last year as a 6 seed, got to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
So, in a way, Kevin Young knows that, hey, we're in it. There's a path. We did it last year.
BYU's the 6 right now, but you hope they don't kind of fall off that spot. At True Blue BYU 1984. And this is a timely gif, I guess, with Shia, who didn't have a fun time in New Orleans. Absolutely.
Anytime we can work Shy into the show, we're having a good day.
He had a bad week, though.
He did have a bad week.
He had a bad week.
It's Feel Good Friday. We're trying to help him out here.
Yes, we are.
Weigh in on X,
because we have such an investment in Shy.
And Instagram.
Just do it!
Beat Iowa State!
Make your dreams come true against the clones! The Clone Wars in the Marriott Center. It's been a year and 2 days. Since BYU beat a ranked team at home.
Yeah, I hate it.
Kansas, last year, butt-whooping,
yep.
91-57.
They were up by 40 in that game.
That was fun. Is tomorrow the day it happened? Sean Farnham of ESPN weighed in on how the Cougars pull off the upset.
Number one, do not turn the ball over. Period. If you want to win this game and you're BYU, you cannot turn the ball over. Iowa State scores more points off of turnovers than any team in Power Four conferences over the last 4 years. And they're doing it once again this year. They're averaging almost 21 points per game off of turnovers.
Okay, so why is tomorrow the day?
Because BYU does take care of the basketball. And frankly, they've been pretty good about it for much of the season. Yeah. It's not like BYU has an exorbitant number of average turnovers per game.
There have been some untimely turnovers.
Yes.
Arizona twice, UConn once, thinking about kind of late in some big game.
Why is tomorrow the day? Because BYU finally gets more production from the three-point line from the other guys.
The others?
Notably, not A.J. DeBonsa.
The other guys? Great movie. Indeed. Great movie.
So by the other guys, I mean not A.J. DeBonsa, not Robert Wright III. The other guys, the role players, step up tomorrow.
How about we aim for the trees?
If BYU wants to beat Iowa State, the other guys have to give more. They have to.
And hopefully BYU after the game is saying, that didn't work out how you thought it would, did it?
They win the game? Please. Like, whatever. Just win
I've got a school. I've got a tuna. You got a lion?
A.J. and Rob probably going to go for 50-plus.
Mm-hmm.
Probably requires those two to go for 50-plus.
Every game, Spence.
But the other guys need to produce at least 25 points, Jerem. You have to. If you have any hope of beating an incredibly solid, sound, disciplined, defensive-minded team like Iowa State, you cannot turn the ball over, and you have to get more production from your role players. They're going to defend A.J. and Rob as well as, I think, Arizona. Like, they will throw anything and everything at them. It's Iowa State plays defense like Houston. Like, they're such a good defensive team. Like, T.J. Otzelberger, I know I get teased a lot about my small polos that,
Speedy,
he wears.
Shirts, okay, yeah.
I respect that dude as a coach. Like, he is so good and so even keel. He has done incredible things for that program. They will be ready. Can the Marriott Center get cooking with the three-point makes from the other guys, and the student section finally is, like, unleashed against a quad 1A opponent?
Get a lead in the second half and keep it. Okay, let me tell you why I think BYU is going to win tomorrow. It's in the Marriott Center. All three of Iowa State's losses have been on the road this year.
Yep, TCU most recently.
They are a 500 team on the road in Big 12 play. Huh? That's a fact. 3-3 at Kansas, which is understandable. But not only TCU, at Cincinnati.
Yep.
BYU can win.
Yes.
BYU can win. This team, Iowa State, is playing great right now. Perhaps the hottest team in America. Remember a week ago, they beat Kansas on a Saturday. They beat Houston on Monday.
On their home
floor. In a three-day span.
Home floor.
That was amazing. They have a ton of momentum. Great trio. Joshua Jefferson, Taman Lipsey, the best three-point shooter in America by makes and percentage at 51%. Milan, your mom, Chilovich. Then Nate Heisey is a weapon, too. He made the game-winning three against Houston. His sister, Taylor, on the USA hockey team that won an OT against Canada. Let's go!
Great. He's had a great week. It's time for your week to not be good now. Like, good. Good for you, bro. Like, it's over.
This team's fifth in three-point percentage thanks to Milan. Milan, see the connection with mm-hmm. Winter Olympics. Top 40 in assist percentage, 11th in D1 experience, 6th in defensive turnover percentage. They're a national title contender. But what if the road gives them a problem? The Marriott Center rises up. Role players knock down threes. BYU takes care of the ball. Rob and AJ go for 50-plus. I'm with you. I feel like BYU is going to win the game tomorrow.
Role players knock down threes. I love to hear those words coming out of your mouth. That's fantastic.
At home, yeah. Let's go.
Get
Come on.
The Marriott Center rolling. Yes. TCU, Cincinnati have given BYU at least a blueprint of what that looks like beating Iowa State when they are away from home. And you don't have to play perfect, but you do have to do a couple of things, starting with protecting the basketball. BYU didn't
Aaron Roderick's going to talk to the team before the game and say, ball control, let's go.
BYU didn't Take do a good job of that against Arizona on their home floor. And that ultimately is what I believe gave Arizona the win. They built that big first half lead.
I felt like it was threes, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm talking about the home game against Arizona.
Oh, the home game. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They BYU got too big of a lead.
Yes.
Yeah.
BYU
don't do that thing.
Against Iowa State.
No, don't do that thing.
Like, you impose your will on your home floor.
Why are we showing Utah score
team?
A basket on BYU TV? Why would we ever do that?
I don't know. Maybe we're trying to, like, exercise some weird, like, anti
Are we trying to fire me up? Because now I'm fired up. I wasn't as fired up before.
But they're showing turnovers.
That's the top 10
teams. This is what you can't do.
Utah's worst team in the league. They don't get highlights on our channel.
This is what you can't do tomorrow against Iowa State.
Go to Utah Sports Nation for that. Oh, wait, it doesn't exist. Come on.
But I'm with you. I believe tomorrow is the day.
Yeah, BYU's beating Iowa State.
Rallying cry.
It's going to happen.
Role players step up. Take care of the basketball. The Marriott Center is rocking louder than it has at any point this season. Tomorrow.
That's saying a lot.
Tomorrow!
It's been loud.
Let's do this.
Let's go.
All right.
Those BYU homers!
Let's push it forward. College basketball media members released a mock bracket yesterday going through the same process the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee does.
They guide them through it so they understand it.
They placed BYU as a 6 seed.
Yep.
So, Jerem, is the 6 seed the best case scenario for BYU, notably playing Akron in the first round, 6-11 matchup.
Shout out LeBron.
And then in Portland, mind you, a potential 6-3 matchup against Gonzaga.
Why'd you do it like that?
Do you feel in charge?
I love the 6 seed. I think that's basically as high as BYU could go, probably. Maybe they get to a 5. They beat Iowa State, finish strong, win a quarterfinal. Maybe.
Beat Iowa State.
I don't mind playing Gonzaga in the second round.
But in Portland?
But like you, in Portland, nope. I don't like it.
Nope.
The other sites, by the way, are Buffalo, Greenville, Oklahoma City.
Give me Oklahoma
City.
Where
in 2010, BYU won a first-round game.
Good vibes there. Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah. It'd be fun to go to Portland, but I'd love Greenville. Never been to Greenville. So that's kind of my pick there from a selfish standpoint. But the 6 seed, to me, BYU still could get a 5. I don't want to slide to a 7, though. That'd be bad.
A 7-10 matchup is a toss-up.
Then you're playing, like, Iowa State in the second round. I want an Iowa State type in the third round,
yes.
Sweet 16.
Yes.
Once you get to the Sweet 16, it's crazy. Second round games are tough, too, especially if you're not if you're a 6, 7, or 8 or whatever. That's hard. We were hoping this team would be a 1, 2, or 3 seed. That's way gone, right? It's, can this team be a 5? Hold on to a 6. Don't drop to a 7. What are your thoughts?
I can deal with every bit of what the committee gave to BYU yesterday. Like, I'd almost jump in 2 feet and say, let's go. Let's do it. Outside of the prospect of playing Gonzaga in Portland, it would be a Gonzaga home game.
And we've seen that for many years in the Orleans.
I don't want that.
Legionnaires.
I don't want that. It's the equivalent of what BYU did to Wisconsin last year in Denver. Like, it was a home game for BYU against Wisconsin.
And Wisconsin is a top 3 travel team in America.
BYU's
fans, actually travel. BYU fans just live there.
Yes. BYU fans outnumbered Wisconsin fans last year 2-1.
It was awesome. So that's rare in a Wisconsin sporting event. That really
indeed. Is. Yeah. That would be a Gonzaga to BYU situation. The Gonzaga fans would outnumber BYU fans 2-1 in Portland. That's the only thing I don't like about it. Get to the 5 line. Like, now.
What if it's not Gonzaga? Would you still like Portland?
Like a Nebraska?
Sure. Because
yes.
I think BYU fans to Portland, knowing this, you know this too, in Portland, BYU fans in the region would flock there. That'd be that's the greatest spot BYU could play if Gonzaga's not in that region.
Yes, here's the thing, though. I don't think that there are great odds that Gonzaga's not going to be in Portland, though, because the committee has made it clear we like to reward the top 4 seeds in each region with something close to their home campus. So they've earned it.
So let's hope BYU gets put somewhere else.
If BYU is a 6 seed, I do not want them playing in Portland. I would rather them
because
play
Gonzaga
in Oklahoma City. And it might be against Nebraska as a 3 seed in Oklahoma City,
which would be similar trouble.
But BYU has already played a true road game against Nebraska.
At Nebraska, who at the time we didn't know was going to be good.
In exhibition format. So
Nebraska has struggled, though, recently.
Exactly.
I want to say they've lost 4-6 after going undefeated.
I know Gonzaga lost to Portland. In Portland?
Oh, yeah, that.
I don't know how picky we can be here.
No, we can't. We can't. Let's just hope BYU gets 6 seed and we deal with it.
But if BYU
would you rather be a 7?
No.
Than a 6 with Gonzaga in Portland?
No, because then BYU could be in a 7-10 matchup against, like, I don't know, Utah State. Like, what?
Aggie fans right now are like, finally!
Bring it on!
You guys are scared!
I know Aggie fans are like, no.
forget that. Utah State might have a better seed in the NCAA tournament than BYU. Not sure that's going to happen. But.
What? Again, this is not Utah State Sports Nation.
Very interesting.
Utah State is right behind BYU net, by the way.
I know, 22, right?
Wow.
BYU's 21.
Daniel R. Ainge's number.
Mm. Hey. What's Utah State projected in that tournament, by the way?
Oh, good question.
Maybe a 7-10 is totally out of the question. Maybe Utah State is just way too good, and they're projected as a 7 or an 8 seed. I don't know.
They're an 8.
They're an 8. Okay.
In the same region.
In Portland.
I don't know about that. I think they're elsewhere. But okay. That's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Sam Merrill versus Jimmer Fredette.
But if BYU beats Iowa State tomorrow night and they start something special, let's say BYU, because to me, it's just a swing game potential tomorrow. Or if you beat Iowa State, it's like, okay, now you go and you beat UCF on your home floor as well.
I think that'll happen.
Now you have momentum going on that weird road trip to West Virginia and Cincinnati.
There's a chance BYU could go 5-0.
If you beat Iowa State tomorrow, there's a chance they finish the season 5 straight wins.
Yeah. Now you're hot.
Exactly.
You got 2 really good wins over Iowa State and Texas Tech. Now, if you lose to Iowa State, you have to go at least 3-1 in the Final Four. Like, you could split the West Virginia-Cincy thing. That'd be a tough loss. You don't want it, but it's hard. I believe BYU will beat Texas Tech without JT Toppin at home.
I do, too.
On March 7th.
Tough task for Texas Tech playing without
for sure.
An amazing player. By the way,
devastating for both programs.
I spoke with Fran Fraschilla last night. Yeah. He's inclined to believe that JT Toppin is going to return to Texas Tech.
Oh, next year?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And he's not going to go to the NBA draft. And probably because of what happened, this makes him even more inclined to return to Texas Tech.
Interesting.
And then have another incredible season, be in the running to be the player of the year again, and then go to the NBA draft.
Anderson's probably gone.
Yeah.
He's a lottery.
Yep.
Number 23, BYU men's basketball hosts number 6, Iowa State. Massive, massive game. Biggest game of the season because it's the next one. 9:30 Eastern time, we've got you on the pregame show on BYU TV. BYU Radio has one as well. Game coming up at 10:30 Eastern tomorrow night.
Oh, the momentum created with the win tomorrow could save the regular season and the season, Jerem. Let's go. Who is the best player in the Big 12? Host of the Inside the 12, Pete Souza, joins us next. He's going to answer that question right now. Well, in 2.5 minutes. This is BYU Sports Nation.
When you say the 12, what do you mean?
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And to continue our Feel Good Friday, we welcome in Pete Souza, host of Inside the 12 and the Pete Souza Show. Pete, great to talk
up,
Big
Pete?
12 hoops with you. How you feeling on Friday?
I'm feeling good, baby. It's Feel Good Friday. Yeah. How else would I feel? And I'm talking to you guys. So I'm stoked. And by the way, on the Pete Souza Show, this was ironic. We had this scheduled long before I got this appointment with you guys. I just spoke to Jimmer Fredette about his jersey retirement, about obviously his legacy at BYU. I called that 2011 and even previous to that time of his. I came up with this on my own, fellas, so buckle up. It was long-term Linsanity before we had Linsanity. That's what it was like. And as a kid from the Northeast, to see Jimmer succeed like that at BYU, there was a connective tissue for me, even back in that time before I started covering the Big 12. So it was a great opportunity to chat with him.
Love that.
Jimmer's the best. Okay, BYU plays Iowa State. Massive game. We were just talking about how Marriott Center magic might occur. I know they talk about Hilton magic, and they beat Kansas and Houston in a 3-day span about a week ago. That was crazy. But Iowa State struggled on the road. How do you feel the Cougars and Clones match up here?
Well, I figure, and we talked about this a little bit online, I figure this sets up pretty well for BYU, simply because, let's not overcomplicate it, it's a home game at the Marriott Center, which is magical for BYU fans, but a very difficult place for opponents to go on the road and play. And as we all know, there have been some clumsy losses for Iowa State or on the road. I also think this is an opportunity. People are underestimating, and I'm going to give you like a conference-wide and nationwide perspective. I know you guys have this too, but just from what I've hearing, people are underestimating BYU right now in the wake of the Richie Saunders injury and other injuries earlier this year. And I think they're underestimating Kevin Young. I think in particular, they are underestimating Kennard Davis, who I believe will be the guy, and talking with King McClure about this yesterday on Inside the 12, and he swings a much bigger stick than I do, analysis-wise, he believes as well that Kennard Davis is a guy who will have an opportunity now, not only to carve out a real role for himself, right, as we head down the stretch into what would hopefully be, for Cougar fans, again, another deep run in March, but also he's got an opportunity to make himself better. And I think that you can't deny more opportunities to touch the ball, to be on the floor more. We always think when big names get hurt, I do think sometimes we think about what we're losing with that big name. And with Richie Saunders, you lose a ton, right, on and off the floor. But you can also gain an opportunity to take another one of your elite players and give them more time on the floor. You know, this is BYU. This isn't UAB. I got UAB on Sunday on ESPN2 against Memphis. There's a difference. And when you can go down the BYU roster and plug in talented players when other players go down. Obviously, the bench is getting shorter, and fatigue is something you almost worry about now. But I look forward to seeing what Davis can bring.
Pete Souza is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's talk about the potential swing factor of momentum based on what happens tomorrow for both BYU and Iowa State. So, Pete, humor me. If BYU does pull, and I say this very tentatively, an upset, because they're a one-point underdog according to Ken Pomeroy on their own floor, but if they get the upset win, what do you feel like BYU is then capable of with that momentum of finally getting a quad 1A win and finally beating a top 10 team as they push through the rest of the season, and what it could mean for BYU going into the latter part of March?
Well, I think the first thing is, leading into this game, you really don't panic if you're BYU, because you feel very good about your coach and the team on the floor, regardless of the injuries. That's one thing. And the reason I mention that is because this life in the Big 12, traveling around like you guys do, calling these games, talking to coaches. You know, we talked to Bill Self and Steve Lutz about this on Wednesday. I had Kansas and Oklahoma State. This league is just, it's a joke how hard it is, right? So all of a sudden you find yourself losers of a couple in a row or two of three, and you're looking for answers, but it can switch so fast, especially when you're in that top tier, top four, like BYU is in the Big 12. And the momentum, the pendulum swings have been so severe this year. I mean, Iowa State right now, I think they've won 7 of their last 8. The last game they lost was February 10th at TCU. BYU's trying to turn it around. But it's not at a point in the season where it's like you're trying to turn around an oil tanker and you don't have enough time. So I completely agree with kind of what you're hinting at. A win here can propel BYU on a swing that can last them into the conference tournament and into March. It's so odd to say this, but this injury with Saunders has taken place with enough time left to steady the ship and to figure out what you need to do, who you have, and what you're going to go into March with. It's important to get a chance to get your footing and take a game like this on Saturday that you play at home. It's not at Hilton Coliseum. You play it at home, and I think that you win there, and you're off to a nice end of the season run.
That's a great point. And turning an oil tanker might be the most Big 12 reference you could have pulled here. I think we all get that, which is awesome. I want to ask you some Big 12 questions here. Arizona and Houston play tomorrow. Do you think the winner is the best team in the league? Like, clearly, because they went head-to-head, that team's the best team in the league at this point. And who you got?
That's a loaded question. I don't think we can say who the best team in the league is right now. And I'm not trying to ride the fence. It goes back to my previous answer. Like, in any given night, when you get around this upper echelon of this conference, it doesn't necessarily mean we're better than you if we beat you. That's the scary part about these, you know, one-off win-or-go-home tournaments as we get into March. I think Arizona right now, the Coapete injury, we're into that point of the year where injuries really matter. Being without Coapete hurts them against Houston because of the physicality of the game. And the front line of Arizona has been one thing that has really moved them and separated them from a lot of the competition in the Big 12. And without Coapete, I think that hurts them. So I think Houston wins that game on Saturday. But when we look forward down the stretch, down the end of the season, I think Arizona gets back and they get to full strength. I think those guards, coupled with that front line, I think that has them as the best team in the conference. So I think Houston wins Saturday, But I think Arizona still is your best team in the conference.
Pete, who is the Big 12 player of the year as of Friday, February 20th?
It's A.J. DeBonsa, in my opinion. And the reason, and I'll take an opportunity, because being out in Stillwater, and you go to the shoot-arounds, right? You talk to Bill Self. Kansas, their shoot-around, it's like a well-oiled machine. And I can tell you, there is nothing but love between Darren Peterson and his teammates. I mean, I saw that firsthand, and you can't fake it, right? But you also can't ignore that there's something strange around that situation. And I said this, and I'm never an I told you so guy because I'm usually wrong. But I said this weeks or months ago. I thought AJ was the better player simply because I like his game more. And the best ability is availability, right? I mean, a lot of times that's why the three of us have the jobs that we do, because we knew that when somebody called us to go call a game or host a show, if they were going to give us a nickel on the dollar, it didn't matter. We were going to show up and be there. And I think that that is what separates AJ from a player like Darren Peterson. And this isn't, you know, I'm not looking for an opportunity to talk negatively about Darren Peterson, but I want to bring reality into the picture and say, I like AJ's game more than I like Darren Peterson's game. And I also love his availability and toughness more than Darren Peterson's. And I don't know much about Darren Peterson's family, but I do know about AJ's family and his mom and his father, Ace, who you guys have gotten to know very well at this point. Just knowing that story, you know, you're the son of a police officer in Boston, dude. Like, that is, to me, that personifies grit and toughness.
Yes.
That we usually don't see from an elite level prospect or player like AJ. And I think that it makes him very, very special.
Pete, bringing it on this Feel Good Friday, great to have you on the show, man. We wish you well as you call your game between UAB and Memphis, and we hope to see you soon. Certainly, we'll be watching on Inside the 12 and hopefully cross paths with you at some big Big 12 basketball.
Kansas City in a couple weeks?
I'll be there for a few days. Yeah, I'll hunt you guys down. Don't worry about it.
Heck, let's go. Pete, great to talk to you, man.
All right, fellas. Great to see you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Pete.
The always joyful and exuberant Pete Souza.
He's great. He's great. He really is. Hey, Women's Hoops heads north to try and sweep the season series at Utah. Watch or listen tomorrow at 4 Eastern and on ESPN+. BYU ready? We'll talk to Lee Kamard coming up.
If you are a Lego and BYU fan, then there is clearly only one place you can be tonight. Details on the way on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
The show continues from Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan.
Do you feel in charge?
I do now because we're taking on headlines. Sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Number 23 men's basketball hosts number 6 Iowa State tomorrow at the Marriott Center. Massive game. Clones 3-3 on the road in Big 12 play. Just saying. Pre-game coverage 9:30 Eastern on BYU TV, BYU Radio. Tip off at 10:30 Eastern.
It is a rivalry matchup tomorrow for BYU women's hoops. They take on Utah in Salt Lake City at the Huntsman Center. The Cougars won the first matchup in Provo, 77-65. Game tips at 4 Eastern. Listen on BYU Radio. Watch on ESPN+. Head coach Lee Kamard will join us next segment.
Number 7 men's volleyball hosts Fort Valley State tonight at Smith Fieldhouse. Wildcats and HBCU from Georgia. Watch live at 9 Eastern on Big Ten Plus. On demand for free at midnight Eastern on the BYU TV app. It's Lego night. First 850 fans get a free Cosmo Lego. You know I'm going to be there early for that.
Everything is awesome.
Yes, it is.
Yegor Dielman scored 10 points, had 5 rebounds in a 112-84 Brooklyn Nets loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. Dielman and the Nets take on the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. So that should be a super easy game.
BYU baseball takes on Omaha. They were going to last night. It was actually rained out. So BYU today will play San Diego State, 9 Eastern on BYU Radio, and the Mountain West.
BYU softball dropped game one of their doubleheader yesterday against CSUN 7-2, but rebounded with an 8-0 shutout win over Hawaii at the Mary Nutter Classic in Cathedral City, California. The Cougars have another doubleheader today against Long Beach State and Auburn. First pitch in that double dip, set for 6 p.m. Eastern.
It's senior night tonight for BYU Gymnastics as the Gym Cats host Denver at 9 Eastern on ESPN+. The Pioneers versus Brigham Young and 1847.
Come on. Cougs ranked number 23. The Pioneers ranked number 16. BYU women's tennis hosting Weber State and Colorado State today, while men's tennis will host Idaho State tomorrow in what will be a busy day on the courts for the Cougs.
And Major League Baseball spring training games start today. Five former Batcats in camp. Michael Rucker with this year's World Series champion Seattle Mariners. Jackson Clough with the Mets. I'm projecting, of course. Andrew Pintar with the Marlins, all non-roster invitees, while Daniel Schneeman, the Guardians, and my ministering companion Justin Sterner on the Athletics are part of their team's 40-man rosters.
After the break, what is the key for BYU women's basketball to sweep the Utes this season? We'll ask their head coach Lee Kamard next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
We just want to be successful as a team. Everyone comes in and works hard every single day. We just want to win.
Bring that intensity and it's contagious.
When everybody's like working hard and playing together, like it's just so fun to be out there. We all have one focus and one goal.
Play hard, play right, play to win.
Oh, it's a feel-good Friday. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation once again. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And as promised, across the way is the head basketball coach of BYU Women's Basketball, the great Lee Kamard. Lee, good to have
you
in Studio B.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Okay, I am speaking it into existence because it is a feel-good Friday that this is going to be a winning weekend for BYU Athletics.
Oh, I like where your mind's at.
In your mind, what would a winning performance need to look like for your team against the Utes up in Salt Lake City?
You know, we just watched film as a team, specifically from the last time we played. If we're as engaged as we were in that game, we'll be just fine.
What's the key to being engaged at that level?
I mean, game plan execution, you know, just a level of urgency on the defensive end. It was quite, because we watched film from another game this past week, yesterday, and the contrast in the two is striking. So just, hey, you guys see how you have to play to be successful. I think they'll be ready.
Was it the Cincinnati game?
Yeah, it was.
That was a tough one. How would you sort of characterize the conversation of how you engage this team against Utah? And hopefully, you know, when I see the Crimson, I don't need much more motivation to be excited or motivated or to work hard. Is that the way with your team? They see the red, they go, hey, it's on.
Yeah, I've been around this place for a long time. The red brings out the best in everybody, and so I don't have any doubts they'll have that urgency tomorrow.
You mentioned that your team has been really good at rebounding on our production call earlier this week, all season long, but you've seen
Not of late.
Exactly. A step back over the past couple of games. Yeah. So what's the key to getting back to what your team has done so
well? Yeah, some of that is it's almost like a matchup problem, at least the last two games that we played. Long, athletic, and physical really causes us some problems. So it's something that we've, you know, shown, seen, noted, and it'll be a little bit different tomorrow. They're not as physical. I shouldn't say they're not as physical. They just don't have that emphasis like some of the teams that we just played. So we got to learn from it, grow from it, and apply it to the game tomorrow.
What does Utah do that has your attention?
They shoot the three like crazy. They're a high-powered offensive team. They're very sound defensively. But that three-point three ball for them is highly effective, and they're a very good passing team as well. You watch them play, and when they have success is when that ball is just moving all over the court.
Where do you feel like your team, from a personnel standpoint, matches up well against Utah?
It's a good matchup. Their style of play is similar to us. They rely on their guards heavily. They're leading scorers. They shoot the three ball a lot. They're shooting it a lot better than we have so far this year. But overall matchups, very similar styles of play and personnel with it. And I think it'll just come down to some of those toughness plays that are going to be crucial tomorrow.
How would you summarize this team's evolution through the year in year one for you?
Yeah, like it's a growing group. I'm so fortunate because of how they approach the growth side of the game, right? When we lose, they're down on themselves. They're not happy. It's almost my most important job is getting them off of that and moving on. And as they see film and they see the difference in good and bad, they can like learn from that and move forward with that. And they take that as like, oh yeah, I see that. I can be better the next time. So really fortunate that they have that approach to the game of basketball.
Lee Kamar, the head coach of BYU Women's Basketball, is on BYU Sports Nation. By choice, you like to play an up-tempo, fast-paced style of game. That will naturally result in a few more turnovers than some of the other teams have in the conference. But I know you still want to take care of the ball and find that balance. So how do you go at the pace you want to play at and still limit turnovers?
Yeah, it's been a thing all year. Talk about, show it, let's learn from it. Everybody, I'm not the only one that wants to play fast pace. Okay, everybody wants to play fast pace. They may not do it, but everybody wants to. we got to learn from it. And for me, philosophically, I like on attack. If you're playing on attack and you turn it over, that's a whole lot different than you being passive and unassertive and making a mistake.
Do you have a favorite BYU Utah memory?
I think I've shared it before. I don't know if it's with you guys, but we had one there my sophomore year since it had been a while. And we're putting it on them. The game's kind of out of reach. And I was still on edge, like, hey, we got to finish this. And Jimmy Balderson's on the court, like, laughing and giggling, like, let's go, you know, kind of thing. And I yelled at him, like, Jimmy, focus up. Let's go. Let's finish this. And it was probably, like, 18 points at that time. Like, the game's out of reach, but I was still. But I remember that visibly. Like I can tangibly remember being on the Huntsman court, locked in, ready to continue to put it on them.
Was that 2007?
That was 2007, yeah. You're right.
Okay,
yeah.
So was that the night that BYU finally snapped the long losing streak?
It had been like 18 games or something like that. Like, I don't know what it was.
At the Huntsman Center?
Yeah, yes. I don't know what it was, but it was something
went
long.
Went back to like...
Yeah. Like, I think it was like 98 or 96 that we hadn't won up there
since. It was
since.
Like Robbie Reed's crazy long three-pointer that game, the last time BYU had won there until Lee's team won.
And you were like... to the end. Jimmy, lock in, dude. I don't know how they do it in Canada. But that's how we
he
do
was
it
just
in
worried
States.
About scoring. That's all he cares about.
Fun backstory there. That is the first time I remember hearing or seeing the phrase, Harleen still open. There was a BYU fan with a t-shirt on the front row because it had just happened.
The fall.
It had just happened. Harleen still open.
Awesome was that play, huh? That was amazing.
We were standing right next to each other on the field. And I just remember him saying, oh, my gosh, for like five times.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Incredible.
What a time at BYU. We were students at the same time as you here. That was special. What's happening right now is like equally or better.
Yeah.
It's wild where we are as a program, right?
Yeah.
Winning,
across the campus, football is good. Men's basketball is great. And all the other sports are tearing it up. It has a very similar vibe to back in that Bronco and Coach Rose time.
But all the games were on the mountain. So it's tough to see Lee getting 20 a game in SD.
You know, some of the times I see clips from that, it's like, how grainy was that? You know, like, was it really that bad back then? Like, am I that old? You know.
We thought that was crystal clear.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things now this season is after every big BYU women's basketball game, there is a Lee Kamard meme or highlight.
Dunk on gray and white,
and then the sunglasses floating down onto your eyes. This is well played by the social media.
Yeah, enough of me. Let's show the athletes. You know,
I do want to ask you about Kaylee Woolston back from a mission.
Yeah.
How's kind of her post-mission training going? She's redshirting. Gonna play next year.
Yeah, I just actually met with her a few minutes ago. She's doing great. Physically getting back into it. I asked her if she's still getting sore from some of the workouts, and she said she's sore this week because they started a new block of weights. But you guys will remember her shot right when you see it.
It's there.
Is she tougher now? She went to Baltimore on her mission.
She's always been
tough. That's a tough.
She's always been tough, but she's a tremendous player, her person, and great fit for our group.
Yeah, that'll toughen you up going on a mission anywhere.
Obviously, you are very in the present moment. But Jeremy and I can't help but think about what BYU women's basketball is building. And part of that is the journey now. The game's now, as you push to the future, and you think about the experience you're building, players like Kaylee Woolston coming in, a nice recruiting class. Just if you can, generally speaking, how are you feeling about what you are building at BYU?
It's been an up and down year. More ups than downs, for sure. We're doing some really good things. We've had some success, some great moments. And it just gives us momentum. Now, we want to finish the year strong, you know, and whatever that is, hopefully it's a positive thing. I think it will be. But we have a younger group that foundationally we've put some stuff in that we can build on going forward, right? And that's schematically, that's plays and schemes and everything like that. And so it's a great time, but yes, you're right. We got a game tomorrow. It's against an important team to us. We want to dominate the state, so it's important.
Tomorrow, if Kevin Young was like, I actually need a few minutes from you, Lee.
Yeah.
How many points could you get?
You know, if you can give me a shot in the corner, I could go 4 for 6 tomorrow. And based on how open I see AJ and Rob getting people, I could go 4 for 6. You know, awesome. I can't guard anybody, but I could definitely go 4 for 6.
Give and take.
Yeah.
We'll take your 12 points if you give up 6 or 8. Yeah. That's fine. That's a +4 or +6. Let's do our part. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma to go get a big road win at Utah.
How about a buzzer beater against them on that court?
I love it.
Let's return the favor.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Come on, Lee. We appreciate you coming in on a feel-good Friday.
Always great to be here.
4 for 6 from the corner. I believe. I really do.
Sunglasses floating down in me.
Deal with it. Yeah. BYU baseball taking on San Diego State tonight. Old Mountain West WAC matchup. At the Tony Gwynn Legacy Tournament in San Diego, 9 Eastern on BYU Radio and the Mountain West Network, not to be confused with the Mountain.
Up next, I'm so excited to reveal a brand new segment on this show. Not sure if Jeremy's as excited as I am, but I am very excited.
I'm excited too. Yeah.
We call it Completely Random Prediction. This is BYU Sports Nation.
That Lee Kamard plays in the game.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PACS, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It's time for a brand new segment on the show. We call it Completely Random Predictions, where we make random predictions specific to what's going to happen between BYU and Iowa State tomorrow night. Jerem, what's your prediction?
You said predictions. I just have one, but here we go.
Two of us.
So. Yeah. Okay. BYU will be in the bonus in the first half with at least 6-12 left. Okay.
So Iowa State will have committed 7 fouls
at least
by the 6-12 mark in the first half. Okay.
Yes.
My prediction: BYU will have at least 10 bench points prior to 5 minutes left in the game.
That better happen.
Or they're not winning the game.
There's no way. If it's not 10 by 5 minutes,
come on.
Guaranteed loss.
Come on. Well, the other guys could do some stuff, though, right? Kennard.
Yes, but I just.
All the starters.
You just need other guys to make shots.
Those
I don't know how successful this segment's going to be. But we are beginning it.
It's going to get more and more random and specific, okay?
I don't, for you maybe.
That's the beauty of it. We can go wherever we want with
just
it.
Just a random, what do you win? Nothing. There's no.
Alexi Kostic will check into the game with 8 minutes and 31 seconds left.
Yeah, that's oddly super specific. That's a harder word to say than you'd think.
Our question of the day, would a BYU win tomorrow over Iowa State? Save the season. For BYU men's basketball, at G_Woe78 says, the season will be decided by the NCAA tournament, but
yes.
BYU's chances in the tournament and their seeding and their matchup, if you beat Iowa State, you would naturally think they're pacing for something better in the bracket, right?
At least a 6 if you beat Iowa State, I would think. 6 is the number. They're 6 in net, AP 6, 6 seed. Let's go.
Beat Iowa State to at least secure the 6 seed?
Well, it doesn't secure it, but it'll help you
makes
on Selection Sunday.
It feel a lot
be
stronger.
In that spot.
Yeah. Our elite voice of the day presented by PACS, healthcare careers built for victory. You take this one, Jerem.
Tom Gibbons. I know the season is not gone the way we all hope, but I also don't think it necessarily needs to be saved. We all need to be saved, if you know what I mean. I'm not sure I can ever remember a season where we've been ranked the whole season, and aside from the junior year, I know we have never been talked about this much. I dare say BYU has been talked about more this year than the junior year. We'll see how it goes, man.
Jerem, this just in from our good friend Ace DiBonsa. He asks, Jerem, did you notice Spencer and TJ Altzenberger love to rock those medium polo shirts?
I did notice that. I did notice that.
We love Ace. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Senior night for gymnastics, Kylie Aquinto, Alila Alvarado. Great careers.
Let's go. Our thanks to today's guests, Pete Souza and Lee Kamard.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to former gymnast Shannon Evans. See you tonight for volleyball and gymnastics. Go Cougs.